Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Hold on to your hats. Are you feeling relaxed?
Yes.
It's a family service. Normal rules don't apply. If your children are a little bit noisy, that's okay. It's a family service. Normal rules don't apply. If your grown-ups are a little bit embarrassing, children, you're just going to have to roll with it. Because it's a family service and normal rules don't apply. This morning is Father's Day. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to celebrate the dads that are here. So if you are an actual dad and you are in the building, could you stand up, please? Yay! Take a look at these mighty men of God. No pressure, but they are responsible for the next generation. Now, if you are a boy and you are aged 18 or above, would you also stand up, please?
Come on.
Excellent. Because this is our church family, and in church family, dads are not just people who've had children. Fathers are people, men who copy the way that God is, and they act and be fathers in this house, because this is our family. And so together as a family, we've got mums and dads of all ages and all skills and ability levels in terms of having had children, having children that have grown up and moved on, not having children yet. So what I thought we'd do this morning is that we would pray for all of these guys, for God to bring his Holy Spirit on and to anoint them with an ability to be a father in the house as well as their natural fathering ability. Amen. So that means everybody else has got to pray for them. So can you all stand up? And some of you guys, actually there's a big clump of guys here with nobody around them. You might need to move out into the aisle. It's going to be a very active service because remember, normal rules don't apply. So grab hold of the male 18 and above. Under 18s, males, you've got this all coming. We're just going to do these guys this morning. So you need to grab hold of them, and you do this in a gentle way, because we don't want to damage them. And what we're going to do is we're going to take our hands, these are our hands, we're going to gently place our hands on the shoulder of the person. All of you men who are 18 and above, put your hands in the air so we know which ones we're praying for, because it's all got really confusing now, because there's bodies everywhere. So, as soon as someone's laid their gentle hand on your shoulder, you can put your hand down so that we know that everybody is covered. So when you've got somebody gently touching you, we've got some guys over here who haven't got anybody praying for them, another one in the front, you're going to have to move if you are not 18 and over and male to find one of those types of people. Okay. All right. Don't be afraid of getting up and moving about. This is just us being family together. Right, now, you need to pray now. Listen to what God is saying and pray for the Holy Spirit to fill that man of God with everything that he wants to do. Go for it. Can't hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kia balia sandere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the fathers in the house. Father, I ask you to pour your Holy Spirit over them in a new way this morning. Father, I ask you to protect and defend them so that they can be our protection and our defenders. Father, I pray that you would put your Spirit on them in every aspect of their lives, their home, their work, their family life. Father, that you would give them wisdom, you would give them understanding, you would give them strength, you would give them joy. And Father, above all else, you would show yourself to them that they might walk in your footsteps and be an example to us and in our house and in this generation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can sit back down. This house is called to open a gate into the town, a Benjamin gate, for the sons of trouble, people who have trouble in their lives, to come and to be loved and to be fathered and to be mothered. That's one of the calls upon our life. And so we need to encourage and pray for our dads and our fathers to be, and those with a father's heart, because it's all the same anointing that we want to see raised up in our church for all the things that God's got for us to do. Now, I need two volunteers. I promise you won't get messy. You won't be embarrassed. Nobody will be tied up. Nobody will have to climb into a box. No custard pies will be involved. No eating Weetabix. There's no allergy warning, unusually, for one of our meetings. So I'd like two volunteers, please.
I still don't trust you.
Thank you for volunteering, David. How wise you are. And I need another volunteer. Come on then, Jonathan. It's a man morning. Yeah, please. So, it's all right. It's okay. You're going to make it. It's actually quite a nice one this morning. Yeah, please. So this morning I have three boxes of delight. This is box number one. It's a medium-sized box. Gentlemen, are you giving me your full attention? Morning. Morning, David. Morning. Here are my boxes. Yes. So we have the box of silverness. We have the box of smallness and paperiness. And we have the large box of loveliness. Now, I'd like you to use all your skills, but just like Christmas, you're not allowed to shake them. And I'd like you to use your skills, I'd like you to walk around, and I'd like you to make a decision over which box you would like to be your very own box this morning. Inside is a small gift. No, can't touch them. It's like Christmas. You're not allowed to. Well, the rules in my house is you're not allowed to shake it at Christmas. You can look at it. You can try and guess what it is. You can't use any weird mystical powers because this is church. Just go on what you can see. They're boxes. That's why I invited grown-ups up, because I could be ruder to them than I can to children. So have you made your mind up yet,
yes,
lads? Have you?
Yes,
now, hopefully you haven't gone for the same one. But what box have you chosen? Okay. And you want that box, the large box of loveliness. Excellent. And you want the middle box. Who should we give the other box to? To Claire. Come on, Claire, you can come and have the third box. Okay. Would you like to open your boxes and see what you got? Oh, Claire, what did you get? An out-of-date egg sandwich with a bite taken out of it. Oh. Special.
I don't mind.
David, what did you get? Box of chocolates. Jonathan, what did you get?
Sally, how did you know?
Oh. Bunch of flowers. Better know where they're going. In your room, yeah, I know. That's what I meant. Okay, gentlemen, lady, would you like to show up your prizes? When you look on the outside of something, you can't always tell what's on the inside.
No.
A shiny box has got a stale... Actually, it is in date. Its sell-by date is today. That's why it was reduced. But and it was me that took the bite out of it. So if you want to eat the other one, it's all right. Box of chocolates, you can eat them all to yourself or you can share, it's up to you. And the flowers, just keep them in your room. When you look at something on the outside, you can't always tell what's going on the inside. And that's the whole key to what God is saying this morning about David, who's our hero. One of the key scriptures about David's life is that man looks at the outside and makes the decision based on what he can see. But God looks at your heart because he can see inside. Do you want to give my lovely volunteers a round of applause? And you can go and sit that down. David became king, and he became king in interesting circumstances. We have to know a little bit about the king previously to understand what God was doing. Saul was king, and Saul made an error. Saul presumed that he could listen to God and make his own decision about what he did with the instructions that God gave him. And what he did was he almost completely obeyed what God said, but he didn't. He missed out a tiny bit. What we'll see through this story this morning is that when God asks you something, when God tells you something and speaks to you, it's really important that you listen to it and you obey it in full, because there are consequences for when we decide that we know better than God. And this is what had happened with Saul. God had asked him to do something. He did 98.9% of it and thought he had a really good plan because it was a way he was going to bless God with his decision. But it was wrong. And so God said that he had to stop being king. And what was going to happen instead was he was going to raise up a new king. Now, I just mentioned that as they've opened the doors at the back, because it's quite warm, that some of you weren't here at the beginning, but we do ask that you don't allow your children to go unaccompanied into the hub, because there isn't anybody there to watch them. And there's no need for them to be out there anyway, because this is a family service. Normal rules don't apply. It's okay if they want to walk around, make a little bit of noise, that's fine, because we're here as family. Think of it more as a family buffet rather than a dinner party, and then you'll get the drift of what we're doing. Okay? That's how it works. So God decided to raise up this boy. He was about 15, and what happened was Samuel, who was the prophet who God was speaking to, he went along to the chosen family, which was the family of Jesse in Bethlehem, and he said, bring out all your sons, because one of them, God has chosen one of them to be the new king. So all the boys were brought out, and they were lined up in high order, and they went along, and Samuel went along, and he saw the first one, and he thought, gosh, he's tall and strong, and he looks like he's a mighty man, he's a bit good looking, he's going to be a perfect king. And God said, no, it's not him. And this is when this big truth came. Because you're looking at what's on the outside, and God looks at what's in his heart. I haven't chosen him because I can see what's going on in his heart. He went through all the boys, got down to the end of the line, to the smallest, and it still wasn't him. So the quick question, is there any others? Yeah, there's one more, he's out in the field. So they went and got him, and this was David. David was good looking too, the Bible says as well. But there was something different about David, and that was that his heart was a heart after God. And God could see what was going on in his heart completely, and he was chosen to be king. So, David is now king. But Saul is still king. So David is about 15. He's been anointed by God to become king. And yet, he's actually got a job now as a shepherd. About this time, Saul was being tormented by, well, the Bible calls an evil spirit. He was tormented and going mad and angry and behaving in a strange way, and he couldn't get any peace. And they asked if there was any musicians who could come and play, because a musician could bring peace to him. And somebody said, oh, I know this lad. He's called David. He's a shepherd boy. He plays amazingly. He's, to our language, he's got a heart of worship. He likes to honour God. God is with him. So Saul said, bring him in. So he came in. And he used to play, and when he played his lyre, which was the equivalent of a guitar, peace would come on the king. And the king was amazed by this, and he said, right, okay, I need to appoint you as my armour bearer. So now we've got a boy who's between the age of 15 and 20, who is a part-time shepherd and a part-time armour bearer to the king, but he is actually anointed as the king, but he hasn't stepped into it. Now, it's really interesting that there's a testimony from the Moses word that was brought a little while ago, because I was listening to that in the week, and I catch up, because I'm obsessed with the children mostly, and I catch up with the sermons. And God just said to me, many of you responded to God on the morning of the Moses message about things that God had said over your life that were to come. David is in that situation. He's a part-time shepherd, he's a part-time musician, but there's a call on his life and an anointing on his life to be the king of Israel. And that's a period of preparation that he's in, and there's something coming. And God just said, just gently remind them that many of them stood up to respond, to say, yes, I've let go of a word that God's spoken over my life. I need to get hold of it again. And this is a gentle reminder this morning. Have you done something about it? since you got prayed for? Have you acted on it? Have you put things in place for your destiny to be fulfilled? Because God wants to remind you really kindly that he meant it. It wasn't a mistake. It's all true. That is where you're going. So put some stuff in practice, in place. And this is what David was doing. So it says here that the Holy Spirit was on him. He was wise in what he did. Everything he did prospered. He played his instruments skillfully, which would have required practice. He was valiant. He was prudent in speech. And the Lord was with him. So that's what was going on in his life right at the beginning. Many of us are in that place where we need to be getting ready. So, it comes to the next part of his exciting life where he was sent with some shopping by his dad to his three elder brothers who were at the war. So three of the seven brothers had gone off to war, and his dad sent David, who's a part-time armour bearer, part-time shepherd, with the bags of shopping, including 10 cheeses, which I don't know why, I just find that amusing. He took 10 cheeses to battle. I just find that amusing. So off he went with all of his bits and pieces, and he went on a shopping trip for his dad to deliver the shopping to his brothers because they were at war. And when he got there, he found that there was a giant in the land who was shouting down the armies of God. There was a voice that was shouting out against God's people. And he got a bit cross. And the reason he got a bit cross was because God was with him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And so he recognized that this man was wrong to defy God's people. And he walked around and he was getting crosser and crosser and crosser. And he was like, well, is nobody going to stand up to him? Is nobody going to sort this out? What's going on? What they said will happen if somebody goes and defeats him? Do you know what his name was? Any of the children know what the name of the giant was that David was going to go and destroy? Any children put their hands up? I can't really see if you are, to be honest. Billy, you're a child. Goliath! Yeah, well done! That's right. A Goliath was coming against the people. And so, David said, I'm going to take him on. I'm going to go and do it. I'll go and do it. Now, his big brothers got really annoyed at this point because it was like, oh, no, not him again. He gets picked out to get anointed to be king, and we never saw anything come of that. And now he's shouting off his mouth saying that he's going to go and defeat this giant when all of us have been here every day for the last 3 months and we haven't sorted it out. And here he goes again, and he told him off. He said, oh, not you again. What are you doing? He didn't have a particularly good family life, did David? But he had God with him. And so he stood up and he said, no, I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go and defeat him. So eventually he was brought to the king, to King Saul, and Saul said, but you're just a youth. You're just a youth. This man has been a warrior since childhood. You're just a youth. And he said, yes, but I have defeated, when I was the shepherd, part-time shepherd boy, I defeated the lion and I defeated the bear. And God enabled me to do it. God delivered me from the hands of the bear and from the lion. In fact, in the Amplified Version, it says, I grabbed him by his beard and smote him.
Come on.
I guess that's the lion that has the beard. I grabbed him by his beard and smote him. And I will do the same to this Goliath that is defying God's people. He was prepared. He was ready. He had been through a season of preparation. Lion killing, bear killing was preparation for being a king. So if you think the preparation that you're going through at the moment bears no resemblance to the call that God has for you, you could be wrong, because God is working in you what he has for your destiny to be fulfilled. God doesn't say you're going to be this person, I've called you to be this person, and then you're like, well, I'm just a part-time shepherd and a part-time guitarist. What's that all about? It's like, no, that's the whole point. Worship is key for you, David, because it's going to rescue you in later life when you get things wrong. And killing lions and bears and protecting people is the whole point of being a king. So he was being prepared. He went to this battle, and this always amazes me, what he did, is he went and he took the stones, five stones in his sling, and he went and he said, I am going to cut off the head of this Philistine. He's got some stones and a sling, but he declares he is going to cut off the head of this giant. Now, let me find the actual Bible verses for this one. I put a bit of paper in to help me, but my Bible's so full of paper it might not have helped me. Let's have a look. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." He knew where he was going because he was prepared. He wasn't prepared in a traditional way. He was prepared in God's perfect way for the task. He knew not to go up against this warrior who was seasoned in battle for years and years in the way that this warrior wanted to be attacked. Because let's face it, if he'd have gone with a sword and a shield and the armour, he would have been completely destroyed. He went in the way that God had shown him and prepared him, which was perfect for God's victory to be done. It was God that was going to give the victory. He just had to have his heart ready and be ready to go. So off he goes with his stones and with his sling, and he's like, ping, bong, giant down. Knocked him out. And then he walks up. He may have run. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm old, but not that old. And he picked up Goliath's sword and chopped Goliath's head off with his own sword. He did exactly what God had said and declared to him prophetically was going to happen. And we know that it was God that gave him the victory. So we've got a story of a boy whose heart was right. He kept his heart right. He allowed God to take him on a journey of preparation so that he could stand up in God's authority with God's power and ability and see an army turned around and destroyed, because once they killed Goliath, the Philistines were afraid and they ran and they pursued them and they destroyed them completely, and everything he said came to pass. Now, this is a family service. Normal rules don't apply. At this point, we're going to break off and do something prophetic towards the students that have been in our Bible college for the last year, some of them for 2 years. So if you're a student and you've been with us at the Bible College, could you come and stand all along the front for me, please? Quick as you can. Brilliant. Give them a clap. Well done. Some of them been here for a year, some of them been here for 2 years. We are sending them around the country. Are we sending any overseas? Some overseas. And some of you are super honoured because you get to go to Worthing, Crawley and Horsham congregation to do your placement. So you've been sent to various places. Now, this is the prophetic part. You have been trained and you have been prepared, just like David was. So we are sending you out now in the name of the Lord to go and be who you are, to represent our house in these different churches and congregations, to represent and be and step into everything that God has put in you and prepared in you. Many of you have been doing part-time jobs, just like David, part-time doing all sorts of things to keep yourselves alive and fed in the Word and in the McDonald's. But you've had a season of preparation, just like David. And I want you to know, as you go out this morning, we're going to pray for you, but I just want to speak this over you. As you go out this morning, you need to go out listening to what God has said, because you're going to face different situations, be put in situations you've never faced before, just like David. But he didn't need a sword. He needed to go with what God had already given him. And God has given you and placed things in you, actually, since before you were born. And they've been honed and prepared during your time in the Bible College. You don't need the pastors with you for this next season. You don't need a worship team up your sleeve. You don't need all of these things, which you could be thinking you are going to need, because it's okay to go with the stones and the sling that you know. Because God has raised you up to be you in the situation. You listening to God and achieving mighty things. Okay, now I'm going to ask Pastor Jonathan to come and pray for them. Don't know. Sarah, have you got the mic? Was it? I forgot to sort that out. So would you stand, please, because we want to honour them, because we're sending them out in our name. So children and young people, if you want to come and stand up the front and pray for them too, you're really welcome.
So as Sally was saying, we have part of the Kingdom of Faith Church is a tremendous privilege to be able to sow and invest into the body of Christ. And the Bible says that one person can put 1,000 to flight and 10,000. And there are 21 people here. So you add that up and there are tens of thousands of giants that these guys are going to, in the grace of God, and as we pray for them, are just going to be able to influence and sort out. There are towns, cities across this country. One person is going to Israel, one person from the Crawley congregation is going to Africa. So we're believing for a tremendous harvest. Aren't we?
Yes.
Now when we pray for people like this and send them out in the name of the Lord, we go with them.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you to, at the end of service, if you kind of just go and find one of them, ask them what their name is. And so I want to pray for you for the next 4 weeks. Is that okay? So that we don't just send them today, we send them from today. They're in our hearts. We pray for them, we encourage them, we just speak well over them. Is that all right? So grab one of them at the end and say, right, what's your name? I want to pray for you. Where are you going on your placement?
Yeah.
Is that all right to say that? Yeah. Right now, let's just reach our hands towards these guys. Father, we want to thank you that you've prepared an army. Yeah. And we say, arise and shine. Amen. For the glory of the Lord is upon you.
Amen.
I want to thank you prepared men and women of valor. Men and women of heroic deeds in God. We thank you that as you've drawn close, they've drawn close. As they've lifted you, you've lifted them. And it's our privilege and our joy to send these people out across the face of this nation, into Israel, into Africa, in the name of the Lord. We thank you for many victories, many breakthroughs. We thank you for many trophies of their faith reward. We thank you for our house being blessed in Worthing and in Crawley and here in Horsham, because these men you're sending, these women you're sending. We thank you for the anointing. Your word says that those who are sent receive the Holy Spirit without measure. So we thank you for that endless supply of power and of grace. We thank you for that spirit of obedience to be strong, that at every point they just hear the word and do what you tell them to do. We thank you that you've equipped them, you've prepared them, you've invested in them, and we are happy to send out the best that we possibly can for your glory, for your honour, and for your praise. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, whilst they're still standing here, because one of the things this morning is that when you get an instruction, you have to make sure that you do it. It's really important in David's life for us to learn. So the instruction was you have to choose a student to pray for. So whilst they're still here in all their loveliness, would you like to just take a minute to focus on which one it is that you're going to go and accost in the hub area after the meeting to find out where they're going and to covenant to pray for them? Have you got it? Now, if this was J24/7, I'd say put your hands up when you know the person it is that you're going to pray for, and we'd wait till everybody's got their hands up. So shall we do it? Yeah? So do you know which one it is you're going to pray for? Oh, you're so good, and you're setting an example to the young people. It's awesome. Well done, grown-ups. Give yourselves a pat on the back. We do that like this. Okay, guys, you can go and take your seats. You're going to be prayed for. Brilliant. Okay, are you coping?
Yes.
Grown-ups, are you all right?
Yes.
Children, are you all right? Yeah, are you managing all right? Yeah, it's a bit different than normal, isn't it? It's quite a grown-up family service, but you know what? You need to learn how to be in the house. Yeah. So we're going to teach you how to do it. You can teach your grown-ups persistence in worship by continually distracting them during the worship. That's how it goes. We all know how we learn patience. So, David's life, the key this morning God wants to highlight to us is David's life was about what was in his heart. He started off being chosen because his heart was the heart that God could see into and saw it was the right heart to be the king. He went through these amazing victories because he listened really clearly to God and he didn't step back. He didn't do 99% of what God had asked. He did the full 100% of what God was asking him to do. He became king. Saul died. He became king. He moved into the palace. So much happened. If you want to read the story during the week in your coffee break, brace yourself. There's a lot to learn from this story. And then we get to the point where he had become comfortable because he had achieved everything that he'd set out to achieve, or so he thought. And we came to the season when the kings were supposed to go to war. And he didn't go. So at this point, we discover that he's starting to make a mistake that was similar to the mistake that Saul said, because this was the time when the kings went to war, and he didn't go to war. And he stayed at home, and he saw something, he saw someone that was beautiful, and he wanted her, but she was married to somebody else. And so what happened was this heart that had been recognized as being a heart that had been open to God, a little tiny, if you've got your X-ray vision with you, you can see there's a little tiny dinosaur to symbolise that he let something in his heart. I wasn't pausing to make children quiet. I was pausing because I forgot what dinosaur it was. Don't worry if your children are being noisy. I don't mind. And he tucked something in his heart. He made a mistake. He didn't obey God. He didn't go to war. He saw a beautiful woman and he wanted her, so he took her. She ended up getting pregnant. She was married to somebody else. He was the king. It was a thing that dishonoured him before God and dishonoured Israel. And so to sort it out, instead of repenting, turning back to God and getting it out, he added something. Didn't actually add a My Little Pony. He added... Although, to be honest, anyway, he added trying to trick and trying to deceive her husband into coming back and being with her so he could get away with it. He's starting to fill his heart up with stuff that shouldn't be there. And then the big one. He couldn't manage to deceive Uriah into going back and being with his wife to get himself off scot-free. So he arranged for his murder. So, we've gone from having a heart after God, a heart full of worship, a heart that listened and obeyed, gradually, by degree, step by step, and he's filled his heart up. He's allowed into his heart things that made his heart unclean. He's got out of that amazing place with God. And this is the pivotal point, actually, for the whole of the rest of his life, because he then doesn't discipline his children. Obviously, these stories aren't normal family stories, service stories, if you know what actually went on in all of these stories. But he didn't discipline his children when his children were wrong and his children were deceiving and attacking one another and harming one another. He didn't step in and intervene in righteousness. And he started on a path of making little tiny dinosaur decisions that weren't right, that landed into whopping great crocodile murder decisions. And actually what happened was his family imploded on itself, murdering one another, killing one another. And the sword came into his family and the consequences went on throughout the whole of the rest of his life. And although he came back to God because our God is so gracious and kind, a God of compassion and forgiveness, and when he came to God and he repented and he said, create in me a clean heart, that's exactly what God did. He created in him a clean heart. He removed the wrong stuff from within him and he set him free and he cleaned his heart and he had a heart back that was free from those things. And he was able to walk on with God and he was able to fulfill his destiny of being the father of Israel, of being the one who then eventually down the line comes Jesus and there's forever a king on the throne, forever in Israel because of Jesus. But there was consequences to the things that went wrong. There were consequences in his family life because things he did that got bigger and bigger and bigger. So this morning, what is what God wants us to take? Because we're looking at heroes so that we can learn from the lives of these men and women of God in the Bible, so that because the truths of their lives are the same truths for us. So how do we apply these things from David's life in our lives this morning? Number one, we listen to what God is saying to us and to what the Bible teaches us. We allow him to show us the way we should live. Number two, God has a destiny for us and had a destiny for this man. And it didn't matter who he was because the destiny wasn't about his ability, his psyching himself up and making himself be something. It was about his obedience to allow God to use who he was. Because God had handpicked him because he knew his skills and his ability because God had placed it there. And he had declared what God was going to do and he followed and did it and achieved it. But then what we also need to look at is that no matter how old we are, no matter how long we've known God, no matter how many times we've said sorry to God for things that we've done, how many amazing things we've seen God do through our lives, if we start to tolerate tiny dinosaurs of this isn't what God says. This is how Saul had his kingdom torn away from him because he was 98.8% right and then the other things that he did that were wrong he thought were good because he justified it to himself. And if we get ourselves into that situation of allowing that to happen and we allow them into our heart, what happens is that it hinders, there's consequences that hinder us from stepping into everything that God has for us. And we need to do a checkup. Every now and again, we need to have a checkup that we haven't allowed ourselves to be deceived and that what we're watching on TV is okay, what we're reading is okay, what we're letting our children get into is okay, because we can give a 98% reason it's okay. We need to be listening closely to God because each of us are different. Each of us can watch a different TV program and not be affected by it or be affected by it. And it can be the same program, but we're all made different. So we need to be wise in what we do and what we say and what we watch and what we eat and what we hear and where we go. Because he was in the wrong place. He should have been in the right place, but he was in the wrong place. He'd not gone to war where the kings were supposed to be. And because of that, he let a tiny dinosaur of lust come in. And before he knew where he was a murderer. Didn't take very long. It doesn't take very long. So, how long we got? Oh, good. We are going to worship God now for a reason. Because he's awesome. Yeah. But because I want to step into God's presence. Now, your children are running around. That's okay. That's fine. Because we want them to be free and loved in the house. Okay? That's all right. Don't worry about that. We're going to stand up and we're going to worship God. So if you guys want to come back up. We're going to come into God's presence for a purpose. Because when David got himself sorted out and he came to a realization of what he'd done wrong, what he did was he stepped into a place before God where God could speak to him and show him what it was that was in there that needed sorting. What was the dinosaur that needed to come out? And this morning, I think there's some dinosaurs that God wants to just say, look, careful, you're getting close to dinosaur land. You might have accidentally welcomed a dinosaur into your house. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about plastic dinosaurs. I'm talking about things that God says are not for us. These things are not for us. But there's other stuff God wants to do too. So up on your feet. Let's step into God's presence. We do that. We enter God's presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. We're going to come in to worship God and then we're going to hear what God wants to say and we're going to do some business with God. Okay? You all right? Still there. I know it was a late night last night, boys, watching the football, but we're going to give God everything now, aren't we? And all the ladies who were woken up by them coming to bed at ridiculous times.
You are the Lord. God is raised a voice of worship. Oh, so are you worthy.
presence now. I want you to just listen to what God is saying. Just ask God to examine your heart. This is not just the time where God's going to speak to you about things that need to be changed or need things that you need to say sorry to God for. But he might show you something in your heart that's there that he wants to just remove. Something that you've been carrying for a long time that God just wants to gently take from you. A burden that he wants to remove, and he's going to show you what it is, and he's going to ask you to give it to him. But there are some people that need to say sorry to God. But you can do it confidently because God loves you. You are, how young you are, for God to examine your heart and show you what it is he wants to touch this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
God, just show me before that there's people here who've had things healed. It feels like it's healed, but it's left a scar. I believe it's like relationship things, and it's like it's healed if you don't talk about it. But as soon as it's brought up, it's like a raw nerve. It's like you can feel there's a scar there, there's a bump. And God wants to remove those scars now. And it's a complete healing, a complete cutting off of the things from the past that's upset you, that's hurt you in the past. It's like, it's not a wound that's festered. It feels like it's healed, but it's left a scar. As soon as it's like the subject's brought up, it's like you can't bear it, and it brings a tear to your eye. So I don't know how we're going to do this. So if that's you, just come forward and I'll pray with you.
Pete's going to go over that side of the front of the church. So if that's you, be brave. And if you are a small group leader and in this area, he may need you to stand with him and pray, depending on how many people come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, if a word comes and you're in both groups, don't worry, because there'll be time to get round to the other group, because there's another word. Oh, it's lots of ladies. Can I have some ladies small group leaders, please? Thank you very much. If you are a lady and a small group leader, please go and pray over there. Thank you very much. We're reverent before God, but we're family together, so it's okay to talk like this. Now this morning, God also, and this may be a crossover, but God also wants to challenge some people who have held on to in their hearts unforgiveness towards their own dads. Father's Day is a difficult day for some people, for many people. Some of our dads aren't with us anymore because they've gone to be with the Lord. Some of them aren't here anymore. And some of you are carrying an unforgiveness in your heart towards your dad. And if that's you, it's a dinosaur that's going to have consequences. And God wants to take the dinosaur out and heal the hurt. And if that's you this morning, I'd like you to go over to the other side of the room. And I'd like to ask the two Pastor Jonathans to go over there, please, and pray with those who need to forgive their dads. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you know there is something there still, like a spiky thing in your heart on Father's Day. Earlier on this morning, you couldn't handle it when we prayed, then you need to go and get somebody to pray for you. Off you go. Don't miss the opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. To Spirit straight away. Might need a couple of ladies over there as well, please. Claire, would you go over and pray? Claire, will you go over and pray over there? Thank you. Sending all the Claires and all the Jonathans this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Are you all right? Hanging in there. Who's not been brave enough yet to look in the corner of their heart and let God actually touch that thing that you don't want to let him touch? Is there anybody hiding from letting God touch something this morning? You know it's in there and you really just don't want to open it this morning. If that's you, I'd like you to be brave enough to go over to that side at the back of the hall. And Sarah, would you go over there, please? I think you'll get back in time for the other words. I think you should be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you are a lady and you're a small group leader, could you put your hand up, please? Okay, could you go over to where Jonathan and those guys are, please? And just Hazel, would you go over there, please? Just that's fine, if just you go. Thank you very much. Do you know that's? It's not just dads. There's some people who've got unforgiveness in their hearts towards other people. And if that's you, you need to go over there as well. God is so, so gentle and so kind and so loving. And he understands what happened. But forgiveness frees you. It frees you from the consequences. It frees you from the pain. It frees you from having to walk with the wound all of your life in your heart. God wants to free you. He doesn't want to make you say sorry for something that wasn't your fault. He wants you to be free from the consequences. So if you need to forgive somebody, it's very, very important, because the Bible talks about how your forgiveness rests upon how you forgive others. So don't miss the opportunity. There's lots of people over there now, so you won't be noticed either as well, which is always nice. Very nice. Andy, do you have a word to bring? You want to go over there and pray with them? I think it's that word. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, that's good.
When we were praying this morning about hearts that feel like they've already got an incision made in them. Something was taken out, might have been a bad thing, might have been a good thing, but you feel like God led you to a place where he had to surgically remove a bit of your heart, and now you're just waiting for what am I meant to do with that, God? What's supposed to fill that back in? And you desperately don't want to fill it with anything bad, but it's just this time of just waiting and not knowing what is supposed to go in there. And what I feel like God wants you to do is actually just come and kneel down the front and worship him, and he will fill it with an expectancy. He will fill it with the answer. He will give you what you need, what he knows is right for this bit. And particularly in like areas of relationships, maybe where you've given something up and you knew it was right to give it up, but there's still a longing in your heart. And God is not someone who's cruel. He's kind and he's gentle, and he comes and he fills that in. And it's also for people that actually you just feel like, you don't really feel like anything is bad, particularly. Nothing's going wrong. Nothing's bad. But actually, it's just a time now that actually, if you want to, come and kneel before the King and get filled up. Encounter him again. Get a bit of refreshing, a bit of what's the next step, God? Where do I take this bit, God? How are you going to lead me? But as you come and you kneel before him, you're going to hear a clarity and you're going to see the road much clearer ahead of you. And so, yeah, so that's for you as well. If you just need that bit of clarity, so God, what are you saying at the moment? Then come and kneel and just worship. Worship him.
So can I say, parents, don't feel that you have to take your children out. And please don't switch off because your children are running around. Your children need to be in the house when the God is moving. And it's okay to be here and for them to be noisy, because God's presence isn't dependent on us behaving ourselves in a certain kind of okay, acceptable church way. He's all right with children running around. And we don't want to miss what God has given us opportunity for this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Strong picture that I think is for a few people in this room, and it was a picture of a father and a child walking down a path, and the child is holding the father's hand, and the child gets distracted by something and sort of walks off and lets go of the father's hand, and suddenly realizes what they've done and freaks out because they think the father's gone, my father's left me because I got distracted and let go of the hand. And the father was like, no, I'm still here, I'm not going anywhere. And it was just a really strong sense that some of us in here have let go of his hand and got distracted by something, and we freak out because we think that he's gone and that we won't be able to catch up with him again. But he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that means under no circumstance will I ever leave you. Under no circumstance. That basically means when you're ready to take hold of my hand again, you don't have to run to catch up with me because I'm right there. You don't have to worry that you're not going to be able to find me. You don't have to worry that it's too big a thing for you to deal with, because I'm right there to take your hand again.
Amen. Sometimes when you've been a Christian for a long time, you think, I can't go and say that to God again, because I really should have got myself together over that again. A father with a child, when a child makes a mistake more than once, is loving and compassionate, a good, perfect father, which is what Father God is. And it's okay if you've had to say sorry to God for some of this stuff before, to come and do it again. He's not going to get angry or be impatient or withhold forgiveness as a kind of punishment, because he's a good God. So don't feel, oh, well, I won't deal with it because... Spirit has been here brooding over us because he wanted to do some deep things, and it's okay. Family services to be quiet. It's quite nice, actually, isn't it? Being together like this. I think God also wants to say to some people that you've listened to what's been said this morning, and particularly about David having the stones and the sling, and those were the tools that he knew and had, and you're still thinking, God has told me he wants to do amazing things with me, but you still don't think that the tools that you have are good enough. You still can't believe that God is actually equipping you in the way that you need to fulfill what God said. And God just wants to say to you, just my child, I'm God. I made you, I formed you, I knew about you in your mother's womb. the gifts and the desires and the abilities that you have are not an accident. I planned them. These things that you're good at are because I gave you the skills, and those skills are from me, for my purpose, for my delights. You need to recognize that God has gifted you. If that's you, then why don't you come down the front too as an acknowledgement to God that you accept and believe that what he said to you and called you to be is possible because it's reliant on him. It is possible because it's reliant on him, not you. And he has equipped you. He's known you before you were born. In fact, he knew you before the foundation of the earth. That's before he built the world. He knew you. So if you're good with craft, or you're good with tidying, or you're good with running, or you're good with shouting, or you're good with music, or you're good with children, or you're good with grown-ups, or you're good with numbers, or you're good with sweeping, painting, gardening, washing up, listening, those are God gifts. Those are God gifts for a purpose. And no matter how the destiny might seem unfulfillable, with God, the destiny is always, always achievable. And you just need to take his hand. So show him you're taking his hand, but just coming up the front and acknowledging him as the source, as your Father this morning. God is never dangerous, because he's only seeking to pull the thorns out so that you can be whole.
You You show me grace. You show me mercy. What amazing grace. King of glory.
was really. And Father, I ask this morning that you would seal everything that you have done. Father, that you would bind us up in your love and your protection. Father, that you would keep us headed in the right direction and that you would bless us. Father, we pray for a blessing this afternoon on all of us, for freedom and for joy in everything that we go to do. And above all, we thank you because you are good. Amen.
Sorry, you have to come back next week if you want any more.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.